Is it a relationship killer? Hi there, this is Single Married Divorced. I'm Eric Rung, and I am single.
I'm Tom McGuire, and I'm happily married.
I'm Allison Collins, and I'm happily divorced.
And this one, Allison, I think we're going to point to you on right off the bat here. This is a story about couples, significant others, that one cheats on another. And is it the end of the relationship? I know in your situation, it was. This kind of goes through some ways that it might not be the relationship killer that we all think it is. Interested just to get your thoughts just overall so far.
Well, after reading this, like, I wasn't the one that ended it. There was some storytelling that went in there, and first he was having like an emotional affair, and then I was trying to like digest that. 4 months into trying to work through that, he's like, oh, actually...
Oh, okay. I guess I was under the impression this was all kind of things that happened pretty quickly. I didn't know there was that big of a gap between what happened.
Maybe it was like 2 months. It was probably like 2 months, because I think the baby was like 4 months at the time. Point being, I was, he told me on a Sunday, and on Wednesday, I was trying to deal with it and try to figure out how I could digest this.
Is that
this.
The emotional part or the
this
actual
is the
cheating
part.
Okay.
Yeah. So, in this story, the woman, there was an affair, and they tried to work through it. In my situation, there was no working through it. Like, I tried to work through it for 3 or 4 days, and then he said, you don't need to work through it. I just want a divorce.
And then he let you file, so at least you had the control of, like, that.
Well, at least.
Not control, but, like, that little, like, all right, I'm going to file. And
like, knowing myself, like, if I look back now, and I was like, please don't go, you know. Stay with me for the kids.
Do you think it really was for the kids, or also because you were still in love with them, or both?
Well, I mean, I had quit my job to stay at home with the kids. I didn't want them not to have a dad. I couldn't provide for my family. Like, I was like, oh my gosh, like this is, I don't want this to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm sure part of it was I was in love with him, but he was no longer in love with me.
Now, this is going to be a hard question, but say he doesn't cheat.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think you guys make it like 50 years, make it long term? Or do you think other things would have eventually developed?
Oh, I mean, I think it was really hard to live so far from my family. And I think that if we wouldn't have moved this way, I don't know that it would have worked. I mean, there was a time months later where he called and he had made the biggest mistake of his life and all this stuff, and was there any chance? And I was like, no, there is no chance. So
at that point, you had made the decision.
Well, and then I learned about like these elaborate lies and like these things that he had done where...
Like, if you want to share.
Well, no, like where I needed help with, you know, I, at the time, you know how hard it is with a 2-year-old. Right. So I had a 2-year-old and a baby. When I left, she was 6.5 months. So it was a lot. And he was never home. And he'd always make up these stories how he had work and how he was trying to help these people and help those people. And it was all just not true.
He was seeing somebody else? Or seeing that woman? That's
yes.
Who he was.
Yes. So just like the story. I'm sorry. My story is going way too long. Just
he
like
was
this story.
Helping himself. You know what I mean?
The story that Allison keeps referring to is an article that we were that we're talking about here. It was a study conducted by the several different research organizations just about cheating and unfaithfulness and how some couples try to work through this, and while others they're it's the end. And
37% of relationships,
37%
according to the Austin
Divorce
Institute.
Divorces.
Of divorce.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. God, I can't read. It clearly says divorces. Sorry. 37% of divorces are because of, which, all right, doesn't blow my mind as much as it did, but when I thought it was relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
It's hard. I mean, given I've never been married, so, but it's hard to understand the mindset, I guess, of, and I think we've actually talked about this a little bit before, but hard to understand the mindset of trying to work through something like that. And, but the way, I mean, obviously for the kids and things like that, that part I do get. I don't know. That would just be such a horrific thing that it would be hard for me to, I don't know.
I'm with you. I mean, I don't know if I could do it. I mean, like,
Right.
I mean, I respect someone who would be willing to take the high road and forgive, and you're supposed to forgive people and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But I don't know if I could do it.
Well, let's be honest. I mean, I didn't. I mean, maybe if I'd gotten farther in the process, I'd have been like, I'm sorry, this is too
much. Not going to work. Yeah.
But I never got that far in the process because he ended it. So I end up looking like a really great person. No, just kidding. I don't. You know, I'm sure I was super like, I need help. I'm home all day with the kids. Please help. I mean, I'm sure I was not, when you came home from work, I wasn't like, oh, thank God you're home. Let me rub your feet. And
yeah. And well, and in this article, they talk about your average things that you would think of, you know, going to marriage therapy and things like that. But a couple of the other things that I thought were interesting is real remorse, which I, you know, if somebody lied to me so many times, it would be hard for me to believe that the remorse would be real too.
Well, and I read through this, and when they were trying to work it out, like, he had to tell her every place he was going, who was going to be there. Like, he had to kind of like reveal everything about himself, like open book.
Yeah. And this is a quote. My husband gave up everything that made me uncomfortable, like going out with the boys after work. I had access to any and all electronic emails, passwords, etc. He told me where he was going, who he'd be with, and then it even says flat out, seems humiliating in the short term, but he understood that was how he was going to rebuild trust.
You know what's weird, though? I feel like Beth knows all that anyway. And we don't have any history of cheating. I mean, I don't think it's unusual either.
Well,
she knows where I am, and she
but
knows
that's trust though too.
Oh no,
that's,
but I'm saying
you already
like,
have that.
I mean, but I'm saying I don't like even without having to like how does she not know where I am, and how do I not know where she is?
Well, what if you said, I mean? Hey, like, I have this project due for work. I have to stay late.
Well, then,
and then she would say, okay, then do that.
That would be the end of it. Yeah.
Yeah. And
she
then
wouldn't think you were lying about
that. She wouldn't
that.
Think that you were off with a 20-year-old.
Yeah, yeah. But I guess my point is, oh, so I guess the guy's like, but I mean, the guy's acting like, oh, now I have to tell her everywhere I go. Well, my wife knows everywhere I go anyway. So now he's just lying about it, I guess.
Yeah, but no, he agreed with it, saying this is how I'm going to rebuild the trust in this relationship because I really am sorry and I want to be married with you.
Yeah, but no, my point is like all the bullet points of what he has to do are like, I don't have to do that. It just happens naturally. Like I'm going out for a drink after work with
XYZ. I know, but
XYZ.
If you broke Beth's trust, I mean, say you were telling like Allison's example, saying, hey, I need to stay at work. And then she finds out a week later that you didn't have any project. In fact, you don't even have a job anymore. And I mean,
no, I understand that. Like he was lying. But my point is like what he's doing to redeem the trust is what happens in a normal relationship anyway, is what I'm saying.
Yes, but it wasn't happening in this relationship.
Well, it was. He was just lying about it.
Well, the other thing is, well, you know, but I dated one woman that did go through my phone, which I thought was absolutely ridiculous.
Without you knowing about it?
Without me. What she felt bad about it the next day and told me about it, but which at that point I knew the relationship was over anyway. But it's at, you know, especially if I've not given you a reason not to trust me, don't not trust me. I mean, that's ridiculous to me.
I had an ex go into my email.
I've had that too. That I got really pissed about that.
We were on the way out anyway, but I was going like, I should have been like, all right, have a nice life. And I kind of just was like, oh, what? That's awful. And hey, things ended not long after, don't get me wrong.
Right.
So should have ended immediately.
Right when things started to unravel, the Cubs playoff tickets were coming out, and so you have to email in to try to get a spot in.
Sure.
So I went into his email, too, to just email the Cubs so that it was a separate chance.
Right.
And then there were all these like really weird emails from
Is that how you kind of... But you said you kind of had a suspicion, though, too, right?
Well, I get really sick to my stomach when something's not right. And so...
You were sick to your stomach for 2 years?
For a little while. I did nothing.
Is that
weird?
Like the intuition, like...
That's a topic that is next on the list here. Yeah. So, but anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, so I went to his email just to, you know, put it in, and then I used his email. So like a couple days later, I checked it to see if we got a lottery spot, and all these weird emails from random people were coming in. I was like, wait, what? And he's like, no, those are fake accounts. That's just...
And you never read any of the emails? You just saw like who they were from or...
Oh, no, I read them. They were creepy and weird. Yeah.
Well, like what?
But did he have like a...
I'm sorry, I asked questions.
No, I agree. I think Rung's right. Like, I mean, was he like cyber cheating too or something? Or what do you mean? Like, who were these people?
I don't know. I guess it was a way like that you could see like nudie pictures or something.
So like cyber cheating kind of.
Maybe.
Hmm.
Okay. I was cheated on every way you could possibly imagine.
Yeah, I didn't. I actually think this is. I don't know if I was aware of that. There was some cyber issues as well.
This was a very small point in the whole divorce. I guess maybe it didn't.
Yeah.
Because this started like marriage counseling and all that stuff.
That's what started the marriage counseling.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I got to back up. I'm sorry, Allison. I thought I knew more about how this whole thing ended than I actually did, or do rather. So. Okay, so you found out about kind of emotional cheating and the emails, then went to a marriage counselor?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, for several months. And this is still before you had known that he had actually physically cheated.
Right. Right, because I asked him and he said, no, nothing has ever happened. I've never, like, I remember he goes, I've never held her hand. I have never kissed her. Nothing like that. And he swore, I said, swear on the lives of our children. He goes, I swear on the lives of our children.
Ooh, that's bad.
I know. So one time when I was talking to somebody about this, they go, well, why did you believe him? And I go, he swore on the lives of our children. Like, who would do that?
A liar.
Well, apparently so.
Right.
I don't know. And at some point I'd flown back to Chicago for something. And we were supposed to go to the Bears game.
Bears game, yeah.
And so, like I said, I get sick to my stomach when something is really wrong. And I was sick to my stomach all night and like upset and sweating and I couldn't figure things out. And so then I called you and I said, hey, do you want this extra ticket? Because
so my buddy Mike got to come with me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just, I hadn't slept and I was delirious kind of. And then I got home and it all kind of
came out.
Yeah. So
I don't really want to do Louisa's story now. I kind of feel...
Well, Louisa, so...
Oh, wait, I'll tell you a funny story.
Louisa's uplifting, this is like kind of a downer.
Yeah.
I have a funny story interlude.
Oh, okay.
My daughter had state gymnastics over the weekend, and you can send shout-outs, and they announce it through the stadium, and so they're all really boring, like,
go
Abigail,
Susie.
We're so proud of you. We love you so much. Love Mom, Dad, and your dog, Sam, or whatever.
Right.
So I send some that are much more exciting. Dear my daughter's name, I know you'll do great because you're my favorite gymnast on the whole team, love, and then the name of her coach, which caused some excitement, and they're jumping around.
That is outstanding.
Right. But the kids were very stressed, so it made everybody laugh, and then I was laughing, so they knew it was me. So then I get a call from a friend last night saying, I'm telling my husband the story of you sending these shout outs. And he says, there is no way you did that one. And I was like, what one? And she goes, what's the name of the singer that you did? And I said, oh, you know, Good Luck Girls, love DJ Khaled. Is it, how do you pronounce it?
DJ Khaled.
Khaled. Yeah. Sorry, I couldn't be there, but we'll party after or something. I go, it was DJ Khaled, or I didn't say it like that. I said probably said Khaled. And she goes, oh, I guess I'm wrong. And I said, why? Who did you tell him? I said, and she said, R. Kelly.
Oh, my God.
Which I think would have been funnier than DJ Khaled, but what do I know?
I think I would have been escorted out of that.
Yeah, that, I don't know. That may have not gone over very well.
12-year-old girls, no. Yeah.
No, it would have been completely inappropriate. I'm just kidding.
I know, but the fact that I can't imagine her husband sitting there like, why would Allison tell this? Why would she do that? What's wrong with her?
What I like is like the guy was totally right. He's like, there's no way she did that. And he's right. There was no way.
There was no way.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I feel much better. Let's go to Louise. Louise is our good friend and an avid listener of the Single Married Divorce Show. I like that I'm putting the in front of everything now. But she is from Australia. She wrote us a couple months ago, and then we talked and we read her letter, and then she wrote us back.
Yep, we asked for a little, just kind of checking back in with her.
If I recall, she was a little concerned because she didn't have any baggage that she was bringing into relationships.
Yep.
And she was dating a weird guy that wouldn't date somebody unless they were married once before.
Yeah, that's right. Wouldn't date anyone who hadn't been married.
Right.
And then she was the one that had the good topic of, like, what are your deal breakers?
Right. Yes. Right, right.
So then we kind of wrote back and just said, Louise, like, did some highlights. She's 36, and over the last 10 years, she's just been very happy on her own and like meeting people, but not really dating anyone. And she's been listening to our podcast and thought, why not give it a go? So she's been on Tinder, Bumble, and Hinge. She hasn't tried the online survey ones like Plenty of Fish or eHarmony. She thought Hinge was a good opener to the world, but Tinder is the go-to. She said she tends to go on for a few weeks or a month, then grow tired and leave for a while.
Well, that's what I did, too.
Yeah. I just finished January on Tinder. I went on 4 dates, no second dates. Like you guys have mentioned, they really have changed over the years. She says people are a bit more forward on what they want, which is fine. But she also finds a lot of people don't text after matching. Not sure if the guys are hedging their bets or just not texting anyone. She makes a good point. Like kind of how I always look at dating. She said, I miss just hanging out with friends at a bar for afternoon drinks or striking up conversations with other people there. I still go out, but not as often, and people tend to stick to their own groups, which we've talked about.
Yep.
Most of my mates are married with young kids, so they're pretty busy. In her 20s, obviously, she was a lot more active because her friends were all single. So, you know, times have changed. We all go through that.
Sounds very, very familiar.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But she used to do, like, speed dating, and they were fun. She said speed dating was fun. Speed dating was fun, but pretty much everyone ended up liking the same guy.
Yeah. I never did speed dating.
I never tried it either.
Did you?
No. Could we sign you up?
Do they still do it?
Stand by. Keep going about.
I thought they did. I remember Andrew and our buddy that lives out in the burbs that doesn't talk to anybody anymore. They'd go do that every once in a
really?
While.
Interesting. Yeah. I feel like that's the apps of the late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah,
maybe.
I agree. They said, I mean, they had zero luck with it, but.
I mean, that rejection's so in your face. I mean, no pun intended. Like, yeah, literally, like 30 women just said no. At least on the app, you have no idea how many people swiped, left on you.
Right.
Pink Taco is having one on the 22nd. Speed dating.
Next
Friday.
Eric has to go. Louise, the best part is she wants Allison or her mother or Eric and I to set up a plan for
Ooh,
a plan of attack.
I like this.
And then she also says, thanks again for your podcast. Thank you for listening and reading my email, and thanks for not trying to do a bad Australian accent. And I'm actually surprised I didn't try to do an Australian accent.
Well, in all honesty, you did.
I knew
I would have. I'm like, it is not like me not to try it.
It sounds slightly Indian, but that's fine.
Yeah, no,
like,
you did.
I'm like, I had to have. How would I not?
Well, no, actually, I take that back. You didn't. You had mentioned that you wanted to, and I said, that sounds like a bad idea that you didn't do it.
Oh, so I didn't do it. All
right. Right.
You stopped me.
I did.
I mean, I kind of was doubting it anyway. I was doubting it anyway, and you confirmed I should not do it.
Right, exactly.
Well,
you know what's crazy
is
I have an Australian friend who it's a very odd story. He was in town because he loves the Cubs, and this was in 2016. I was doing a story down at Wrigley Field, and he was walking around, and I heard his accent, and I knew that he wasn't from the States, so I asked him where he was from. He's from Australia, and he's this huge Cubs fan. God, why didn't I think of this before? I could
set him up.
I could set them up.
How about this?
I think he's...
there's something going on with Australia, I think, because I was at an event. First of all, two of my bosses at work, Australian. I met two people at a networking event both last week, both engaged to Australians. Maybe there's a slow invasion happening.
My favorite show is currently on Netflix. It's based in Australia.
Which is?
It's like an Airbnb show.
Oh, do tell.
Oh, I don't know the name of it. But I love all of their accents, and they're all kind of like snarky with each other
mm-hmm.
about renting out their places. There's some of them that I imagine being my best friends. I hope they accept. But
I have a friend from New Zealand. He's super chill.
Yeah,
like island country, and you know,
I don't know anybody from New Zealand. But this guy, Craig, I won't say his last name, but he is a former professional baseball player in Australia.
Louise, are you listening?
Yeah,
I used to date some former professional baseball players. No, minor league. Sorry.
What's
professional?
Professional. They get paid. Man, yeah. I'll see if I can find you, Louise, on Facebook. Maybe we can hook this up. That's your plan.
No, it's a big. That's a big place.
Yeah, it is a big country. Well, they could get together. They could figure it out.
Yeah, we can. Yeah, I mean, with technology these days, right?
Right, right. Which leads us right in to our next topic, I might add, is this guy and girl, they've been kind of chatting online, doing a lot of video chats, things like that. But however, he has a little cold feet when anytime she says, hey, I'll travel to your country and so on and so forth. This was a letter that was sent in to Dear Abby. She thinks that they really click, and she wants to fly over to his country, but he said that he has health issues and he wants to wait.
I mean, I don't want to be negative, but come on.
I know, right? I mean, it's hard to believe, but I think though, this is also a kind of a symptom of love, though, too, when you want love so badly that you want to believe that what is happening is real, when it clearly is not. Because if you are clicking that much with somebody, regardless of a medical condition that has no name or treatment, I mean, we hear that red flags, I mean, immediately went off, and Abby too, by the way. But I think when you really want to believe in something, you put that in your brain to make it work.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he is married or something. This reminds me, remember that story I told you guys of the girl who started a GoFundMe?
Mm-hmm.
Her boyfriend broke up with her.
Oh, yeah.
Because suddenly he had
cancer
or
something?
Yeah. And then it turned out that was the way he broke up with her. Like, he's like, I can't do this now. I have this, illness I have to deal with, and I don't want you to have to be part of this. So she's like, well, I'm not, I'm in for the long haul. Like, I'm not just going to go away because something bad happened. I'm starting to GoFundMe to help you pay for all this.
Oh, man.
That was going to be my prediction. Is next up, it's going to be like, oh, my gosh, the surgery that will cure me is $10,000. I just don't have it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Will you send it to me?
Yeah.
Well, and she's like, I'll pay for the whole thing. It's fine. I'll just pay for the whole thing.
Yeah, well, you don't even ask. I mean, I think if you're a good con man, you don't ask. You just drop it out there. Then they offer.
Yeah.
Oh, I couldn't let you do that.
Right.
I insist. Well, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel bad for her, but.
I know.
So far, there's been no diagnosis or treatment plan, which I think is really the. It's like a red tarp,
It's not a flag. But, but you see this in other areas of life, too, though, where this reminds me of the, I guess we're just going to talk a little bit about the Cubs here again, but 2016, they were in the World Series, and I was doing some stories on some counterfeit tickets, and the Cubs organization showed me some of the tickets that people were trying to pass off. I mean, they were laughable. Mm-hmm. I mean, how anybody, and it probably cost them, I don't know, $600, and they thought they were going to the game. Clearly was not a ticket.
I think you also have to realize, like, not to sound bad, but I mean, there's some people who, like, just aren't smart, unfortunately. So, like, what's obvious to us.
I think there's a lot of people that aren't smart.
But I mean, like, you're like, how could you fall for this ticket? It's so.
Because you just want to believe.
Yeah, or they also just are like, oh, it must be real. I don't
know. This woman clearly believes that this man has a. Has an issue, a medical issue.
I think the saddest part, she goes, because they video chat, she's like, I see it every time we chat, and I know how much it affects him. It's not going to scare me away. Like,
I would be interested, like, on the video chat, does he look like he's getting thinner? Or, I mean, she doesn't.
Just, it says in pain.
Yeah, but I mean, anyone can grimace and like, yeah. Like, if he just,
I could,
like,
do that after working out.
That's what I mean. Like,
I just move a little bit to the left or right, and I can groan pretty good, like a real old man. Damn it.
Yeah, I think she needs to do a surprise visit because I don't think she's going to believe anyone, and she needs closure on this. So if she can swing the ticket, pop in, surprise him and his family and children, and then
when his wife answers the door, and she'll be,
she's going to just have to like. Go through the pain of this is over.
Right.
And then.
I mean, I think there's also been times in my life where I've dated people that I knew, looking back on it, I was probably like, man, I didn't want to believe that part. I just didn't. And I wouldn't. And, I was blinded by love, I guess you could say, or because I wanted it so bad. Like, everything else was perfect, but this one little thing, and then, like, but it was
that
real.
She won't see me. person.
She won't return my calls. That's sad. I feel bad for her, though.
I know.
Tell another funny story, Allison.
I'm leaving in a couple days for Europe.
Woo!
I am in charge of 7 students all by myself to Spain. No, to Paris, Barcelona, and Madrid. Barcelona.
And have you never been? Have you been to any of these places?
No, no. I mean, I've been to Martha's Vineyard. I mean, that's as far east as I've gone.
What are you most looking forward to?
I'm just going to eat the whole time.
Oh, man. My favorite thing I have so many favorite things. But Paris was just the bread. Oh, my God. Just
carb it up.
Oh,
it's good. And I mean, Spain, too. Go to, I highly recommend the Museo de Jamón.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's on our list.
Yeah.
That's one of the places.
It's really just a deli, but there's a little bit of a museum to it. It's just you just walk up, you get a ham sandwich.
It's tons,
I'd say a beer, but you probably can't get a beer
because there will be no alcohol consumed on this trip. Though they did give us like a thing how to follow if you're bringing alcohol back to the States.
Hmm.
Duty free.
Maybe I'll bring you guys a little treat.
The Spanish people are so good at life. So they have the siesta thing that still kind of happens. Some of the towns, it still kind of shuts down midday.
Yeah.
And then after work, you go on your way home, you stop for a ham sandwich and a beer. And then you go chill out for a while, and then you go to dinner like 9 or 10 o'clock.
Oh, I love that.
And then you get up and go to work for a couple hours in the morning, go home and sleep.
I mean, hours. I mean, Europeans have just figured out how to live. They just have. And they're so good at it.
Well, the one night we're supposed to have like a paella beach dinner thing. Mm-hmm. And
oh, that'll be fun. Yeah. Do you like paella?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The seafood is outstanding, naturally, but especially in Barcelona. But Barcelona, it's really interesting, I thought, because it was almost like New York, L.A. from Madrid to Barcelona.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yep. I mean, just completely different towns.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
City versus like beach and
So
Barcelona is like LA and Madrid is
Sure.
They were both super cool though. I love them both.
I'm like 3 days in both of them.
Wow. That's, I mean.
That's perfect.
Yeah. If you ask me, I don't even know which one I'd say I liked more.
Well, I have checked out the weather and it's supposed to be like in the high 60s, 70s and dry.
Perfect.
All 10 days.
That's perfect. Barcelona's the only place where the gypsies started to annoy me.
I didn't have that problem there.
One of them, like a friend of a friend owned a bar right off of, the big main strip that goes down to the water in Barcelona. And this woman comes in like holding a sign and the friend like comes running around the bar like, get out of here. I'm like, oh, she's not bugging me. She's like, no, one of the hands is fake. So she stands next to you and she's like pickpocketing you. Yeah. Like, so
I had that in Rome. I never had that in Barcelona.
See, in Rome, we did a month in Rome. I had no issues with any gypsies in Rome.
Interesting. So.
Well, I have the little wallet that goes under my shirt to keep everything.
Safe?
Yes.
Good. Don't take your passport out. Just
hotel
put it in
safe.
The hotel safe and leave it there.
And bring a copy. Really? And bring a copy with you.
You could take a picture of it.
A picture of it. Yeah.
Oh, I thought I was supposed to wear the passport in the pouch. No.
No, no. Don't do that. Put it in the hotel safe.
You lose that, you're screwed. I mean, so helpful tips.
Yeah.
Travel tips by single married divorce.
We're actually going to have a spinoff show. It's all about travel.
But I'm going to meet my Spaniard future husband, so I'm very excited.
Hey, put yourself out there.
Yeah. These are my
You would go a Spaniard over a Frenchman?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
These are my 7 daughters that I'm walking around with.
Sisters. 7 sisters.
Yes, yes.
There you go. All right, well, that'll do it for this week of Single Married Divorce. For Tom and Allison, I am Eric Rung. We'll have another show for you next week. Have a great week, everyone.